The City of Phoenix and a group of historic Central Phoenix neighborhoods were in court this morning in Washington, D.C. They've sued the FAA over changes to flight paths at Sky Harbor. The agency changed the routes in 2014 as part of a national program, but the neighborhoods say those new routes are causing problems, including noise. Former Arizona Attorney General Terry Goddard represents the neighborhoods, and he joins me. So, Terry, what are you trying to convince the court of?
Well, we need to convince the court that the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, broke the law, as I think they clearly did. Our pleadings show that very, very resolutely, that there was a sudden change, as far as the neighborhoods were concerned, in the way the departing flights to the west took off. I happen to live in those neighborhoods, so I experienced it personally. I've seen very large aircraft right over my house, which was never supposed to be part of the aviation corridor under any circumstances. And it is devastating. We've had people with serious health injuries, that health impacts because of the change. We've had declining property values. We've had a whole lot of impacts to these historic areas that have, and I think this is the important point, under the law, the historic parts of any community have special privileges. They have special rights. And that includes the right to have notice if something's going to be taken by the federal government to impact your neighborhood. That was not done.
So had the federal government given that notice and had residents maybe had a little bit more input on the front end, would that change things for you?
Well, I think it might have changed things. I mean, there's a process that this country is committed to called an environmental impact statement. When a major federal action is being taken, a highway, a change in the equivalent of a highway in the sky, and you have to have notice, you have to have a clear study of what is impacted, who's impacted, how they're impacted, and what the alternatives are. That wasn't done in this case. The FAA simply, without that kind of warning, without the study of the routes, just changed them. And that, we believe, was totally illegal.
Now, the FAA is saying this is part of a nationwide effort. They're trying to make the routes more efficient and, you know, do better things for air passengers. Do you think that there's a balance that can be struck in Phoenix to achieve the FAA's goals while maybe impacting slightly less the neighborhoods that you're representing?
Well, that's what the environmental impact statement process is all about. I mean, it's to balance the equities. It's to say what is the impact, what is the benefit, and then a decision maker, in this case probably the commissioner, would make a decision. None of that was done. And let's make it very clear that when on September 18th of 2014, the routes were suddenly changed and the frequency of flights was changed as well. I mean, this is no small item. The neighborhoods were led to believe by the FAA that, in fact, the process you're talking about was just starting, that this was a trial, that they would be able to talk to the administrator and to the FAA officials, and that they were open for changes. And so for months, neighborhoods worked very hard to put their case together. They appeared before hearings of various kinds that the FAA sanctioned. And they had this this misconception, in retrospect, that they were doing something that might affect it. I'm right bringing the facts to bear to the administrator. And then they got the cold shower that said, oh, no, that's all eyewash. It doesn't mean anything. And our decision is final.
Phoenix is not the only city that's had some complaints about this process. There are a number of other cities that have also filed suit against the FAA. Legally speaking, do those cases have any legal bearing on what happens with the Phoenix case?
Well, I think there are analogies, certainly. They're all in different court systems, but every complaint about the FAA basically funnels to the circuit court in the District of Columbia. So they consolidate eventually. So, yes, that court is becoming more and more aware that there are problems out there. So I think we may be the first, and we're right at the front of the line. The other cities are watching very carefully what happens to us, and there have been preliminary actions and statements by the FAA and other cities which indicate that maybe they're a little more open to reason, that maybe they would go back to some of their prior routes. I mean, that's all we're asking for is a fair shake.
Ideally, where do you imagine that relief in this case will come from? Is it from the courts? Is it from the FAA? Maybe Congress? Someone else?
Well, it could be from the FAA, and Congress has certainly been active. Senator McCain, Representative Gallego, they have been both pushing some very significant legislation which would require the FAA in the future to take the noise on the ground, the impact of these jet noises on the ground into consideration in their decision in ways they have never done before. That's good, certainly for future changes of policy. It doesn't seem to have that much effect on what they've done already. So I'm depending on the courts. I think the rule of law is our ultimate savior. And we simply are asking, as I said, for a fair shake, for a clear analysis of what happened, and for a rollback of this arbitrary and I think very, very unfortunate decision.
Terry Goddard is a former Arizona attorney general. He's representing five neighborhoods in a lawsuit against the FAA over changes to flight paths. Terry, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Oral arguments in the case wrapped up a little while ago, and I caught up with Steve Dreisussen in D.C. He lives in the F.Q. Story Historic District and was in court earlier today, and I asked him how it went.
Well, it was very interesting. It was my first opportunity to personally witness such a case. I think all of us watch a lot of TV, and sometimes we watch proceedings online, but there's really nothing like being in the room at the time.
What kinds of questions did the judges ask of the various attorneys?
Well, the court case was scheduled to last 30 minutes. Oral argument was divided equally among the two parties. Each side had 15 minutes, and because there are two petitions for review, the City of Phoenix and the Historic Neighborhoods had to divide that time in half. So I personally expected a whirlwind question and answer period with a lot of interruptions. My understanding and expectation was that the judges want to challenge each side. It turns out that the case ran to about 10:45. It started pretty closely on time at 9:30.
So, Eastern time.
Eastern time, correctly. Correct. And the justices were very interested in challenging all sides on this case. They were very interested in the timeliness of the petitions for review that were filed. There is a 60-day window by federal statute that a case needs to be filed in these matters, and the justices were questioning both sides as to the propriety of whether that is a reasonable period of time in order to bring such an action in this case.
You are obviously not a legal scholar, but could you get a sense, based on your knowledge of this case, maybe which way the judges were leaning in any way?
I can't venture a guess. I can feel confident that the city and the neighborhoods presented their cases, if you will, in a clear manner. I think they showed that there are challenges to a very difficult process that a federal agency brings upon the public. And while periods of time and notifications and 60-day windows are all questions that are guided by law, the fact of the matter is that we're left with a mess. And I think the justices clearly realized and recognized that this is a mess. So how that will fit into their decision, I can't tell you.
Did they give any sense of when they might have a decision on this?
There is no understanding from my knowledge that we'll know when a decision is rendered. I've seen other cases which have been rendered fairly quickly. It could be days, a week, or possibly longer.
Is it fair to say, Steve, that if this case goes against you, that you would petition the U.S. Supreme Court to hear it?
I don't know that we would make any decision on that at this time. I think we have to take things in their logical order. So we want to digest what will happen and then make our decisions from there.
That's Steve Dreisussen. He lives in the F.Q. Story Historic District in Phoenix. I spoke with him earlier from D.C., where he attended oral arguments in the cases from Phoenix and some of its historic neighborhoods against the FAA over new flight paths at Sky Harbor.